On this week's episode of HPD HQ, we talk about internet safety with special guest Detective Smith.
Welcome back to HPD HQ, the official podcast of the Huntersville Police Department. I'm Odette Saglombeni, the Public Information Officer.
Hey, I'm Brian Vaughn, the Lieutenant over Personnel and Training. What's up?
Not a lot.
So we give out a little insider information when you guys decide to listen to the podcast, but we actually record this a few days before it's released so we can edit the audio, make sure it sounds good.
But it's good all the time.
When Odette stutters, we have to make sure we cut that out.
I don't stutter.
So we are recording today amidst tropical storm
Zeta. Is it Zeta? Is that where we're at now?
Yep.
So it's windy.
It's very windy. So if you hear rain or anything from our coat closet,
that's what it is.
That's probably what it is.
That wind's gonna get intense.
And then we have Halloween coming up this weekend. But by the time you listen to this, it'll be past.
Past. Yeah.
So we'll be on a sugar rush next week while we record. And then also, when you're listening to this, it'll be Monday, November 2nd. Make sure you get out and vote tomorrow on Tuesday, November 3rd.
Yep.
Go vote.
Go vote.
Go vote.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on this last week, though.
There isn't. There's just lots of stuff going on inside the police department as far as restructuring and moving people around and
promotional assessments.
Promotional assessments. We got a lot going on coming up the next couple months.
And yeah. So we've been a little busy here.
We've been very busy.
Yeah.
It's never ending. How's the family?
They're doing great.
Are they?
Yeah. Everything's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Nothing new.
You know, when you go high pitch like that.
You think I'm lying? Yeah. It's great. Everything's great. No, it really is. Everything's fine.
That's awesome. Yeah, we our little guy is finally going to go back to school next week.
Yay.
He's got a little bit of a head cold right now, and we told him, you have no choice.
Don't say it.
It must be gone by next Thursday because we need you out of the house.
Get out.
He's 8.
If he's not in school, he'll be somewhere, just not at home.
That's exactly. We said, you ain't got to go to school, but you got to get the heck up out of here.
Yeah, I'm glad mine went back. What was it, 3 weeks ago now?
6 years ago?
It's been a while. Because we're in Iredell Statesville. So they went back full time, and it's been great.
But then they canceled school today because it's windy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is starting to get...
a little windy?
I mean, the preschool, no. They just said, leave early so you can drive slow and get here safe in case.
We'll put them under a desk or something if we need to.
They're still in school. But no, the older one, she's at home with my mom.
That's awesome. So. Speaking of moms... You had a pretty funny story about, like, your mom called just now.
Right before we started recording.
About your little girl and the skunk.
Yeah, she was dropping my little ones off at preschool, and she had my oldest daughter with her in the car. And I guess as they were driving, they must have passed by a skunk that had been run over or killed. And my mom could smell it, and she yelled back to my daughter. She said, "Do you smell that?" And she's like, "What is that?" She's like, "It's a skunk." She's like, "Did it farted?" She's got her mask trying to, like, practically shoving it up her nose, what my mom said, because its smell was so bad.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love kids say the darndest farted? Things. We should do an episode and have, like, kids or the PD kids come up here. We can ask them questions about, like, what they think their moms and dads do.
Oh, there'd be so much editing.
Wouldn't that be hilarious? do that. You could bring yours in. I could bring mine in.
Yeah.
I already know what mine would say. I'm not going to say right now.
Yeah.
I would save it for him, but to take, you know.
It's probably true.
To steal the thunder from him. But that would be awesome. We should a kids.
Yeah. If they're allowed in the building.
Gosh, we're getting professional with this thing.
Yeah. So we could do a call-in over the phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be...
One of the days they're at home.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that.
If we can't get them in the building. Because of COVID.
Let's do it. COVID.
COVID.
So, yeah, that...
Oh, we clocks go back an hour. Like, we need another hour of 2020. Yeah, Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Yeah, but they'll have... Hopefully they'll change it by the time they listen to this. When they're listening to this.
Yeah.
But yeah, Yeah, as if we need another.
Another hour of 2020. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been a great year.
It's been so awesome.
So great.
So we talked, you know, you heard in the intro, today's going to be about internet safety, and we're really going to kind of concentrate on internet safety with kids, with your kids that are in the house. You're an adult. You should know how to be safe on the internet, but, you know, maybe that'll be another episode another day.
Yeah.
But today we're specifically concentrating on kids and...
And what parents can do to make sure their kids are safe on the internet.
Right. And what better way to have an episode about internet safety with kids than to have somebody in here that doesn't even have any kids? Wait, just kidding.
It's like, who in here doesn't have kids?
Oh, so we have Detective Smith of the Criminal Investigations Division here with us today. What's up?
How y'all doing?
Oh, we're good.
Good.
That's nice. So we'll dive into some of that in a minute, but we always ask everybody that comes in here to kind of start the how you got into police work. We all have the why of, you know, you want to help others, you want to help the community, but Odette saw a movie.
I
think it was like Police Academy or something, and she decided she wanted to be a police officer.
I was going to say I'm not as old as you are, but I did see that movie, but no, it was not Police Academy.
I watched Dumb and Dumber, you know, that's how I've decided
I wanted to
become. So anyway, like, what's your how, man? How did you become a cop?
Well, I enlisted in the Army when I was 17 years old, and I chose to be military police. So I guess it just stuck with me from that point forward, and once I was of age to go into BLET, I immediately went in there after I came back from a deployment overseas.
How long were you in the military?
Total, I was in for 9 years. I was in the North Carolina National Guard.
That's awesome, man. Yep. Thank you so much for doing that and serving and then deciding to continue to serve. That's what typically happens in police work, too. You kind of have something that leads into having like a servant heart or servant mind, and you know, it gets you to where you want to be here and continue to serve the community. So we appreciate that. So you go to BLET, and this is your first police job, right? Out of BLET?
Yeah, funny. I had no idea about Huntersville at all.
Where did you go to BLET?
I went to Gaston College in Gaston County.
That explains a lot.
If you couldn't tell by the accent.
Yeah.
I was going to ask him if he's from New York.
I was thinking the same thing. Clearly, you're not from here. Where up north are you from?
One of the instructors actually works here, and he introduced me to the Huntersville Police Department. So that's how I put my application in here, and here I am.
That's awesome, man. How long have you been here now?
5.5 years.
I mean, we're not talking about today. Like, we know you've been here for about 30 minutes today.
Yeah.
But
detective life.
Yeah. So how long?
5.5 years.
5.5 years. Mm-hmm. What all have you done while you're here?
I was on patrol for probably 3.5 years and then got moved over to the Criminal Investigations Division.
Is there something that you specialize in, or?
Yeah, so I am a part of two different task force. One is the North Carolina Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, where we work child exploitation. And another task force I'm with is a violent crime task force with a federal agency.
Okay.
That's awesome. So we wanted to have you up here today to do some of this internet safety stuff. And a lot of it is things that you probably just Google on your own, but it probably doesn't hurt to actually hear it as well.
Talk about it.
And we have, you know, some stats and stuff about kids' access to the internet. And so if we want to kind of just jump into it, some of the things I found before we get started in questions and stuff, I found a research study group that was done by the Center for Cyber Safety and Education. And they kind of, this breaks down as far as kids go between fourth grade and ninth grade. So any numbers that you're going to hear, at least for me, are numbers that are between fourth grade and ninth grade. So like 8, 9 years old to 13,
how old are you when
14?
Yeah.
I don't know. How many times did you do ninth grade? Do you remember how old you were?
I went to Gaston County School, so it wasn't too hard.
Okay. And do you go by Detective Smith? Is it Dylan Smith? Is it Jeremy Smith? Like, what Smith do you go by? It
depends on the day of the week.
Okay.
I've always called him Dylan.
When I
tried to find his
Dylan
email before I knew his first name was actually Jeremy.
Incognito.
I was like, what? I can't find this. I know he works here. Where is his email?
So this thing, it says that 45% of teens are almost constantly on some sort of device, but the way they're accessing is like 70% cell phone. 65% of it is a tablet, and then 50% or almost 50% of those that are accessing the internet have private access in their bedroom to like a computer or something like that, somewhere where it's kind of able to hide and access these things. So as far as internet safety goes, what do you suggest about, like, if you have children and they have access to the internet?
Well, the biggest suggestion I can have is for the parents is for them to educate themselves on the type of applications that the kids are using. I mean, as we grow older, the technology changes, and we sometimes as adults we don't keep up with it. So some of the biggest, you know, apps that kids are using nowadays is Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. There's a couple of voice over IP apps, just like TextNow basically creates a different number for you. Telegram, there's obviously, we know there's dating and MeetMe apps. And also, like, whenever people are playing online gaming, Xbox and PlayStation, those are some platforms where younger children can be enticed by predators.
Yeah, that's actually a nice little segue, because a part of this same research thing had some percentages that I just saw for the first time today when I Googled this. Shocking. And I'm kind of shocked by it, honestly. But in this age group, said 30% of kids that were interviewed for this thing have used the internet in ways that their parents wouldn't approve of, which is pretty significant.
Yeah.
Yep. 21% of 4th through 9th graders have visited sites where they can chat with strangers.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what you were just saying about
the video games.
Video games. And then what was the other? There's some apps out there.
Yeah, there's like, I mean, it used to be Kick, but now that got disbanded. There's, you know, apps where people just can meet random people in their geographic area, but a lot of these kids don't understand that as an adult, you know, I could create a fake account and put a random zip code in, and now I'm talking with kids in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other one that was also shocking is almost 20% of that age group have visited adult websites, like mm-hmm. pornography websites, 20%. So with that, like, how do you work on communication with your kids? And
I mean, you just got to talk to them. Educating them about the potential hazards of internet usage, and knowing who their online friends are. Nowadays we know we don't, 9 times out of 10, we're not calling or talking to people in person. We're texting them. Yeah. So just the type of communication that they're having with other people online. You know, there's filtering and monitor software that you can put on phones and computers to help you monitor what your kids are doing. But the biggest thing is, I mean, like you said earlier, put the computer, if they're using a computer, in a family area where you can monitor it, you know, nonstop. But everybody's got a cell phone, and that's
a mini
computer.
Don't just let them run off and go to whatever in their room or bathroom or wherever they're going.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How old are you? How many kids do you have?
I have 2.
How old are they?
2 and 4.
Okay, so neither one of them are really, maybe a little bit into tablet stuff and maybe
like
a YouTube video or something.
You really got to watch the YouTube kids. So I just turned that. I don't even let mine watch it anymore, because they would, as you click on things or as it goes through the videos, it just takes you to weird places. And I would hear it. I'm like, what is she listening to?
There's been
watching
videos identified on there as what we call grooming videos.
Yep. Mm.
Just take away all the electronics.
Just get rid of all of them.
No.
The grooming stuff, you know, like the, you know, even though you feel like you're safe from using the YouTube kids where it has this limit and stuff on it, it obviously still
there's ways for people to hack in and
absolutely
put stuff in there.
Yeah. So what are some other rules that you might would set up for a kid if you had kids with internet access? And
well, I mean, one of the biggest rules I think is limiting the time that they're on it. Some of these filters and monitoring software that I mentioned, you know, they have the ability to time how long your kids are on a certain app or something like that. And obviously, if we limit the time that they're on the app, then the chance of them being enticed by, you know, someone or something is ultimately lessened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not endorsing any website, but there's a website that the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children mentioned, and that's getnetwise.org. That's GETNETWISE.org. On that website, there's suggestions for filter and monitoring software that parents can look at.
We can we'll post a link to that when you're listening. By the time you're listening to this, we'll have this linked up in our social media platforms as well, so you can access that and see what's out there. And also, you know, if you have a Apple device, a lot of the Apple devices are able to, they allow you to set screen time limits and stuff. I don't have outside of an Apple device, so I don't know what the other ones either. Have. But
now with the kids being on computers and stuff more because of school and COVID, it's, well, now they have to be on the computer. And, you know, some of this stuff that I've heard happen with Zoom where people tap in and
inappropriate stuff.
Things happening. It's,
and the problem is that so much of that stuff is so anonymous that they just can do it and there's no repercussions. They're never caught. It's a difficult time prosecuting, even if we
it's
do
hard
have
to track that down,
track them down. And, yeah, what you just said, 2 weeks into school, our little boy, you know, like I said, he's 8, and he's like, you never let me have more than 30 minutes of screen time a day, and now I'm sitting in front of the computer for 6 hours.
Yeah,
son, you just do as I say.
There are exceptions.
So you hadn't had to deal with that yet.
Thankfully,
but it's
not
coming.
I pray that this COVID stuff is done. And
in a couple years?
All my kids can go to school 5 days a week.
What about, I know we're talking about internet safety, but is there any suggestions out there about like cell phones and when it's appropriate, or, you know, we all kind of have our personal feelings about it, but, you know, when it's appropriate for cell phone use or apps, and is there any good reliable information out
there?
I
mean, I haven't found any specific reliable information about when it's appropriate. I mean, there's suggestions like, if your kids are going to bed and obviously they are sleeping in their own room, a suggestion would be to, you know, put their phone in the kitchen and let it charge up there so they can have their phone in their room where, you know, they can be on the internet and apps talking to people all night. I mean, the biggest thing is as a parent, you need to explore the apps that are being used nowadays.
Yep. We're 13 episodes in. I think we've talked about this a couple times.
Be nosy.
Just,
be all in their business when it comes to the phone stuff or tablets.
I don't understand when I hear people say, I don't get it when I hear people say, well, it's their phone. I can't. Yes, you can.
You need to protect your
children, too.
You
pay the bill.
Yeah. You're more than likely paying the bill. And, I mean, it's just protecting your children too, because you don't know what they're doing on their phones or these tablets. So you have to monitor what they're doing.
Has somebody invented like a mirroring app so I could pull up my phone and actively see what my kid is doing at that moment? I'm just, you know, random thoughts by Brian today.
I have not.
That would
seen
be a good
that.
App to develop, like do almost like a live stream of somebody else's.
But then I'm
device.
Sure other people would tap into your phone and see stuff
you
that
get
you're
crazy
doing. So
pictures and
maybe
stuff,
it's not a great idea.
Maybe it isn't great.
I mean, really think that one through.
And you know, if you're concerned about your kids' feelings, who's actually concerned about their kids' feelings? But if you're concerned about hurting your kids' feelings, sit down with them and have them help you come up with the rules so they feel invested in what's what they're going to do and what the standards are. One of the things you laid out, one of the things I found on this website are some of the things that parents can do. And you just said something about the common area thing. We already have established that in our household, that our little boy, tablet, whatever he has, electronic, he has to be in the living room with us. Yeah. And we're establishing that now when he's 8. So it's a normal practice for him when he's 13 and wants to start investigating things on the internet. He'll be less likely to do it.
I just took all electronics away. They don't.
Golly.
Well,
good Lord.
I mean, they can watch TV. I'll put,
your
you know, an educational show on, but I had enough with the tablets. I took them away.
Ozark is not an educational show for kids.
They're not watching adult shows. They watch kid shows.
Okay.
I make sure they're watching. Yeah, I'd
let your kids come over to the fun house. They'll come over. They can come over to our house, and we'll let them do all the things, eat all the sugar.
Oh, no. My youngest one doesn't even like chocolate. What kid
Aren't
doesn't like
lucky?
Chocolate? I tried to give him an M&M the other night. He's like, ugh. And he, yeah, golly, wouldn't eat it. I don't know what's wrong with him.
What? So I guess you get to eat all the candy now.
Huh?
You get to eat all the Halloween candy?
Of course. I mean, my girls still like it, so.
Got to do the parental check.
Yeah.
For sure.
I usually end up eating most of the candy. I don't know what happened to it. Where did it go? Oh, you girls lost it.
So to like back up when he's saying something about common area, some of the rules or things that you could outline with your kids is checking your child's browser history frequently. You know, taking their phone at the end of the day. I know people that we work with that have kids that are teenagers that before they can do anything else, they have to, at the end of the day, bring their phone to their parent to let them go through their text messages. They're not allowed to delete text messages throughout the day. You know, just establishing that stuff early on. I mean, it sounds crazy, but they're your kids. It's your phone, and you need to protect them. You said something about security apps and things out there that can monitor that. Making sure that they understand privacy settings and giving out personal information. Mm-hmm. How about knowing your kids' passwords?
Yes. Know
the passwords. Or give them the password that they will use, and they aren't allowed to do anything with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems pretty straightforward. I mean, this is also going back to, you know, when they're 12 and 13 and they call us for help and they're like, we ask them, have you looked through their room or anything? Mm-hmm. Oh no, I can't go in their room. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
It's your house. It's there just like this.
You're the adult. You're the parent.
I mean, all this, it's going to sound harsh. I mean, it does.
It does, especially if you don't have any of these ground rules.
Especially, but the type of things that I see when I investigate these type of cases, I mean, my kids, I don't know if they're ever going to have technology.
Yeah.
See, we're on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like with that, you know, we're G rated. This is a G rated podcast. So, do you have an example of something that would not necessarily like a shock and awe kind of thing, but do you have an example of something that you've seen?
Yeah. So there was a preteen female that lived in the area, and she would play online chess. You know, just go to a website and play online chess with people around the world. And, you know, she got to playing with this one player, and ultimately the player started talking to her and convinced her to send him some illicit photos. And dad found out, dad contacted us, you know, I did the investigation, and the IP address, the internet protocol address, ended up being from Turkey. So we ultimately lost the track of whoever that was, but the image of that female is all out there for anybody.
Yeah, and will never go away.
Yeah, the biggest thing is that we, as investigators of these type of crimes, we're the voice for the unidentified victims.
Right.
And it's not an easy job, but trying to get out here and, you know, help educate parents and community members about how to prevent this in the future is the biggest thing that we can do to help stop the victims be re-victimized every time.
Right.
From playing chess.
Yeah, that's...
It went to that.
Whew, that's crazy. The last one on here, it says watching for changes in your child's behavior that could be indications of cyberbullying or some sort of online predator.
Yeah.
And that can change their behavior as well. So keeping an eye on that and really monitoring those things.
If the kids are experiencing cyberbullying, there's SROs at every school. Even though, you know, most of the schools aren't in right now, they are still assigned to those schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the administration at the schools know how to get a hold of them. Report the cyberbullying to the SRO, and, you know, we can step in and try to help out. Biggest suggestion for that is... block those people who are cyberbullying your child, because it ultimately leads to, you know, worse cyberbullying, and then your child's feelings start to change, and you know, just report it.
And it may take some effort at first, because they may do some ghost account or some fake account to continue whatever the bullying is, and it might take some effort to continue to block. But you know, there's also so many protections for the quote unquote suspect as far as like their privacy and stuff is concerned. It can make it difficult. So you got to stay on. It's going to take some effort for the person to continue blocking them, but
eventually, that's why you got to look at your kids' phones.
I know. Dude, thank you so much for coming up here and talking to us. And that's awesome information that you brought along with us.
Yeah.
One more thing.
Yes. So we actually have two more things. Uh-oh. So at the end, we let you say whatever you want to say. If there's some other input that you want to put into this. So how about that? And then there's a second thing we need you to do.
All right. So if anybody ever experiences any type of exploitation of their child, and you want to remain anonymous, you can always report it to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They have a cyber tip line. You can go to cybertipline.org or just go to ncmec.org and report that to them. Or you can come straight to the police department. The faster you come and report it to us, the faster we can get the necessary legal processes input, and we can ultimately try to stop the predator.
Yeah. Yeah, because you got a bunch of red tape you're going to go through to try to get access to some of this digital information. Mm-hmm. So the second thing, is we are in a supply closet.
Absolutely. Yep.
Anything sticks out. So we usually tell people to come in here and look around and just see if there's anything in here that you're like, oh, this is kind of weird.
Why
to
is
see.
This in here?
Why is this in this room?
Well, I see some germicide spray.
Yeah.
And golf balls.
This golf balls actually wins right now because
putt in here.
We may as well. You know, nice. People have noticed the hacksaw on the table behind us, bike tires, and now golf balls.
Air mattresses. Is it still up there?
There's air mattresses. There's a thing of paint.
Oh.
We're not doing any painting in here.
Some random towels, sheets. I mean, anyway, the golf balls wins. Yeah, I need to move those. Over closer. Here somewhere so that way people can see the golf balls. I forgot those were in here. Why do we have golf balls in here?
I think they came out of somebody's car and it just ended up.
Why did they have golf balls in their car? Never mind. Never mind. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Shouldn't go there.
So what do we have coming up next?
So negotiators.
Yes. Yeah. So negotiators will be episode 14. We're going to have a couple of.
We have a crisis negotiation team.
We do. And so we'll have one of those negotiators in here. Officer Jim Abraham will be here for that negotiation episode. And so we can talk about the training and stuff that they go through and, the important role that the negotiators play. Since it's pouring outside today, we can make fun of the motor guys because
they're not out there.
They're not out there.
Or at least not on their bikes.
Yeah.
They're in cars.
All right. So go vote.
Yep.
And we will see you next week.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to another episode of HPD HQ. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's easy. Just type in Huntersville Police Department. If you have a comment or question for the HPD HQ podcast, email us podcast@huntersville.org. That's podcast@huntersville.org. If you like this episode and think someone else would too, please share it and don't forget to hit the subscribe option. We are the Huntersville Police Department. And remember, making good choices makes for a better day.